Welcome to the coffee break, everybody. Happy Saturday. I'm in my jammy jams at noon on a Saturday. So what does that tell you? Yep, I'm being way too lazy today, but I know that I've got a lot to do this afternoon. So I'm going to be heading into the studio just after this. So everybody well?
Yeah. Chain snagged on the chainsaw.
Oh, no. Oh, you were taking down some trees today or something, or what?
I had to cut it up. It fell several weeks
ago. Okay.
It's bugging me. Every time I look out the window, I see it there, and it's like, I got to get rid of that thing.
So it was on the ground. It wasn't something you had to get up on a ladder or anything.
No.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I got
that lesson.
Last year, I bought an extension pole electric chainsaw.
Right.
I don't know if you ever saw that, but that was pretty, that thing works pretty well.
Yeah.
Actually surprisingly well, to be honest. So I just had like a tree that was like this big around that was maybe 25 feet tall that had died for, you know, so I just had to take it down just so it wouldn't fall on the kids or something. So
yeah. Well, this one died and came down in a storm. The trunk is a little larger than that, but not all.
Yeah.
But it's already down. So I just got to cut it up and get it out of the way.
You come next door, you could drop down by 20, 30 feet, 30 meters, poplar next door.
Every time Peter talks, it comes up on my screen, full screen. And so just like, oh, Peter's so cute.
Which one is Peter?
Yes, this is so cute. Oh, my goodness. Owen. Solbu's there. I can't tell if Solbu's using his own loop or if he's actually with us. Oh, there he is.
He's making his own sandwich.
He's constantly making sandwiches. And then Bill's got the deer in the backyard. That's cute. Is that just something that you found online? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Very nice.
Yeah, just some pre-tape loops. So.
Yeah, cool. And Peter, what's the story behind the dogs? Are those your dogs or just something you found?
They didn't read the advert. They read what's on the joke. My dog.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All I say to Bill, plant a tree, 73, bring a saw, 94.
I got a notification last night that the new HDMI repeaters have shipped, and they'll be here Friday, so.
Cool.
That's good news. So won't be here in time for Wednesday's show. So I'm still going to be makeshifting it probably in the producer's bridge. But yeah, we'll get through. We'll get by. ABP 9 just arriving.
Good morning. How do you do?
Very good. How about you?
I'm good.
Good man. Where were we at? We're talking about security and MikroTik and everything, and then...
Yeah, I'm all ready to start that conversation.
All right, let's go.
All right, then, not a problem. So here's my setup, right? I have a U-verse modem, and I know it's just a modem, but it does provide for... protection in terms of it doesn't let anything... connect internally. Okay. However, the downside of that is that I've read and the technician has confirmed that it also publishes, I think to AT&T, publishes the MAC addresses of all the devices inside my private network. So for that reason, I have a Netgear router that is the only thing that's attached to the modem. And I connect everything via the Netgear router and or other routers that are internal to the house.
Good.
So the only thing that the modem knows about is the Netgear router. And that's the only MAC address. That's the only MAC address that it publishes, right? Mm. Assuming that it's... I mean, I have no reason to believe it doesn't do that. So, okay. So here's my thing. The other thing prevent, because of the fact that it doesn't allow any kind of the modem provides the firewall in terms of it doesn't allow any kind of network connection incoming. By the way, as you've already mentioned in previous coffee breaks, it does also, you know, the modem provides for a 5 gigahertz and a 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi mm-hmm. connection that I do not use for the same reason. I let the internal Netgear router do all that for me. It too offers 5G and 5 gigahertz and 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi internal. Mm-hmm. So I control that as much as I possibly can, right? But what I'm trying to understand, and I think I've done all that I can reasonably do to make that happen. Disabled the Wi-Fi modems in the Wi-Fi access points in the actual internet provider provided device, and I'm using all of my access is through the internal routers.
Yeah.
So I've done all I can, I think, reasonably to actually make all that work. I've done all kinds of other stuff, like, you know, if I don't know the MAC address of the device, it just simply won't connect to the even the internal mm-hmm. network, stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's good. So, you know, I feel like it's pretty good. But here's the thing. One thing I cannot do, as I mentioned in yesterday's coffee break, is that I cannot allow for any kind of – I cannot SSH in, as I used to be able to do on my old DSL. I used to be able to SSH in by port forwarding.
Yeah.
But the modem does not allow that. The internet service provider provided modem does not allow for that kind of port forwarding.
Yeah.
And it sounds like from all the forums that I've read and all that, it sounds like my only option really is to what's called bridge the modem.
Yeah.
And if I do that, my concern then becomes, okay, the internet service provider modem is my first wall of defense, right? It's mm-hmm. at least stopping incoming connections, for which I'm grateful. My internal router is also set up to do the same, right? Mm-hmm. but at which point, you know, how do you decide?
Yeah, I understand.
If the Netgear router is strong enough, or you know, whatever router you've got is strong enough to be able to do what the AT&T modem's doing mm-hmm. for me already.
You've just
that's really
got a dual firewall. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, that's good. You know, you're recommending the MicroTik, and I understand why. But at the same time, I get that it's not open source, but at least an open operating system that hopefully does not phone home. That's the biggest concern I have. You know, what all is it doing when it's phoning home, right? Mm-hmm. So I get that, and I like that. But I don't care if the modem phones home. I already know the internet service provider is transparently looking at everything I do.
That's my concern, BP9. That's my concern, and like you're. So anyone who's watching this on demand later, like, you know that your modem is doing that, and you understand that they're monitoring traffic and connected devices and all those kinds of things. So you're fixing it. Mm. But the average Joe user just plugs in their modem and uses it because it works.
Even people at work, a couple of jobs ago, would do the same thing. And I'd say, why are you doing that? Don't you know that this modem, the universe modem is publishing back to the provider all
not only that
the devices that are on your network, on your internal private network.
Yeah. But not only that, but also quite often, as is the case with the ISP for the internet at the studio. So when they installed the internet, they said they have remote access to the router.
Sure.
And I said, we need to disable that.
To the modem, right?
The modem it has a built-in router, yes.
Okay, so be careful, because when you say router, you might infer that you're talking about the internal router, my internal Netgear router. They don't have access
to
that.
Right. Your modem has a built-in router.
Yes.
That's how, and it has a DHCP server and a firewall built in.
Right.
So the modem is basically a chip. That's what gives you the connection, and then you've got the router is what's actually routing the traffic to the Ethernet ports on the back of that modem, which is also a router, right? So, but because they have remote access to it, they can actually access not only my modem and router, but my computer, my Samba shares, my files. They can access those things. They could do
if it were directly connected to the internet provider.
I'm talking about the average user who just allows them to install the modem and then just goes along using it as is. You're not the average user because you've supplemented that with with this Netgear, right? So as far as bridging goes, usually, and I always bridge my modem because I don't want my ISP having any access to my network. Period. But as far as the first line of defense goes, like I would just try bridging the modem because usually you usually have the capability to just press a reset button and that'll take it back to its normal factory default settings anyway. So you can always experiment with it and see.
Sasha figured that out, didn't she?
But you know what? You have this situation where you've got two firewalls. So your first line of defense is the ISP's modem.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So can you not set up a port trigger or port redirection on that modem?
I tried it on the modem and it just won't work. And so I checked on various forums, various Google searches or whatever, and they say the only way to get around this is to bridge the modem.
It's just tricky because you've got a dual firewall set up. So you have to have if you don't bridge the modem, you have to have your firewall built into the modem pointing to the Netgear and opening port 22. Then you have to have the Netgear picking up on port 22 and then rerouting it to your internal IP because
that's the setup I used to do with the old DSL modem.
Yeah.
I had an old DSL modem prior to the U-verse modem. And the U-verse is considerably more complicated because, as you say, it has a router built in. So if I were to default to port 22, it might work, but I'm deliberately not using port 22.
Oh, you can use whatever port you want.
Discussed. Not if I want to hackers to, you know.
So think about your ISP modem could be port 1444 or something, right? And then that points to the IP address of the Netgear's WAN port, which
apparently the only way that I could make it work would be to expose port 22 on the
DMZ
U-verse modem. Yeah, on the U-verse
modem. So DMZ it. Yeah.
Which I'm trying to avoid that. Trying to avoid that.
Yeah.
So I have the same issue. My ISP blocks it too. That's why Robbie, sometimes you talk, you say, when we work together, you say, can I SSH in? I'm like, no. And it's not my choice.
They actually, ISP blocks it. Wow.
Yeah.
So time for a VPN.
Well, that's why I'm thinking of bridging mine and building a pfSense system to control everything.
My friend Eric, he did that at his parents' house. He had a server there, and last year they had to replace the modem. But the one he used to have for many years, he had in a bridge mode. And before he bridged it, he configured the modem so the setup button or the reset button does nothing. Because he didn't want his little brother or his dad to fiddle in there.
Just have it trigger like an AI voice that says, don't touch that.
So my specific question to you, Robbie, before we had to cut it short again yesterday, was what do you look for in a router? Mm-hmm. a router that you would plug internal, you know, that would be the only thing that connects from your UVerse or your cable modem or whatever it is you're using. Assuming you bridge that modem, that means that the router that you've connected is your primary line of defense, right? Uh-huh. Now, I know you're going to say Microtik, and I get that. I'm okay with that.
Well, but, that's a brand, but you're talking feature set.
I know, but I'm still asking, what do you look for in a router
that
makes you feel comfortable that it will act, it will properly protect you in that.
So first of all, like when I say Microtik is a brand,
yeah.
Microtik is a brand, right? So
sure.
When I say, oh, go buy a Microtik, that's because I've already used a whole bunch of different brands and sure. have said, okay, this one has everything I need for much, much cheaper. So I have to be more careful with that because I'm saying these are the features. And I think this is your question is what are the features that I look for? Mm-hmm. So why did I inevitably settle on Microtik? Price is a big part of it.
Or any brand.
Mm-hmm. So it can be any brand. So yeah. So two things I think are key for me. One is I want it to have the capability of controlling how it caches things. So as an attack is happening, for example, I want to be able to control the responsiveness of my router. So if I come under a DDoS attack, I want to be able to shut down that DDoS attack without affecting my main services. Mm-hmm. So that's important to me. Microtik does that really, really well. Mm-hmm. And it allows it to kind of reroute traffic based on, for example, if I have said my computer's MAC address is this, then the Microtik automatically skips over some of the checks for that MAC address. So it makes it a lot faster, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's important to me. The second thing is I like my routers to have the same mentality that I have, which is lock down everything unless I say otherwise.
Right. Yeah. Right. By default, everything should be locked down.
My router should be about security. So I shouldn't have to look at it and say, oh, that's open. I need to close that. That's the mentality of the ISP.
Well, universal plug and play.
Yeah. BMP. Yeah, exactly. I want
I did not know that my old router had UPnP enabled for so long before I just happened to run across it in a netcast somewhere. You should turn off UPnP, and here's why. I had no idea.
All of the printers that the Canadian hacker printed to, it's because of UPnP.
Ouch.
Like 500,000 printers. I mean, it's got to be locked down completely securely unless I say I want to open that. And when I open that, I don't want just rudimentary it's on or off like DMZ. I want to be able to control the traffic. So and that's part of it. So maybe that's three things, but I think that's still part of the routing aspect in that I don't want to just say, yes, I'm going to allow SSH, which is that's what you do with the net gear. I want to say I will allow SSH to this IP address, because this is my home computer.
Yeah.
I will allow it only with this SSL cert. I will allow it only from the country of Canada. Mm-hmm. And everything else, I want it to go through these filters before it's allowed. Or
so,
just block it all out.
So to be clear, the Netgear router, and in fact the one I had prior to this one, is quite happy to accept and port forward SSH on a custom port. It does not have to be port 22.
But it's either open or closed.
That's true. Now, what I have not heard about, and this was what surprised me yesterday, was when you described how you could configure it so that you needed an SSH cert or an SSL cert to even be able to negotiate that connection, to even be able to open that connection from outside. That's something I've never heard of before.
That gets really sophisticated.
It sounded a lot like a port knocking, only I don't think that it's all, what you are having.
Say again, Selby. Explain to me what it is you...
No, it's yesterday when Robbie mentioned that he had something that you had to be authorized in order to initiate the connection. It sounded like an old-fashioned port knocking, but I'm not sure that is what he was talking about.
You said port knocking?
Yes. You are,
I've never heard the term.
I've never heard it either. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, port knocking is you are pinging. You use some scripts to do that. It's automated, but you're pinging a specific port, and then maybe you are pinging a specific sequence of port in order before port 22 is open.
You're saying that's what a hacker would do to try and figure out if there's anything open on those ports, right?
No, port knocking is you need to and you are configuring what that sequence is. You are pinging port 10,000 and maybe 6,400. You are a series of ports, two or three, and when you do that in a certain order, then port 32 is opening for you. That is port.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that. That's no
interesting.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
Wow.
That is what came to me when Robbie described his setup. But I don't think that is what he has in mind.
No, from what Robbie described, and I'm sorry, Robbie, I don't mean to talk about you like you're not here, but
I kind of like it. I'm just, but I'm almost out of coffee.
Yeah, so he's on his break after all.
Yes.
From what you described, Robbie, it doesn't sound like that's what it is. It sounds like you specifically need a separate, I'll call it an SSH, you know, cert, in SSL, order to actually, or SSL cert, in order to actually make that connection, to initiate that SSL port forwarding connection to your machine from outside. Is that
if I could remember how we did it, because it's rather sophisticated. What we did is we created a virtual appliance on one of the hypervisors that generated SSL keys. Mm-hmm. And then had the traffic routed from the microtik for the SSH to check and verify the SSL certificate before it allowed the routing of the traffic to SSH. It was really sophisticated, and this is because the boss was traveling and he didn't want other people being able to access SSH.
How often has it gone wrong?
Never.
It
works flawlessly. Yeah.
Okay.
I subscribe to the mindset of block everything unless I approve it. So with this capability or this setup, we were able to open it up to him, but no matter where in the world he is, but yet still block it from any geographic region that we didn't approve, except if it was him that was there.
Yeah.
So again, by authorizing it, then we then skip these other rules in the microtik router and the firewall. So it's really cool. I mean, there's this, it's one of those things, like I couldn't tell you how I did that, like just off the top of my head. I'd have to look back at notes, but I can tell you anything that I've ever needed to do, we've just been able to do it. Like just, and
so I got around that. So I got around that by picking a port number that was way up high in the address space, the port space.
You can do that, but port scans and still happen.
For the whole 64,000 ports?
Yeah, really? And when they do happen, my microtik will say, all right, you've port scanned us 5 times, blocked.
You're done. Yeah.
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 So by the time they get to port 5
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but another way to, which is maybe the usual way to do this kind of security that Robbie has of certificates, is to have an SSH key and set up your server to accept in order for you to connect without entering a password on the SSH.
And that's what I do. And that's what I do anyway, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that was the very first thing I set up before I even moved the... SSH to a custom port.
Yeah, but the step that many people forget is that once that is working, disable SSH, disable password authentication in the
SSH. Oh, no, I've done that too. I've done that as well. I mean, I've had it happen before where I've changed the key but forgot to change, you know, I've changed the public key on the server but forgot to change the private key or whatever it is, you know, whatever sequence. And it, you know, it says, "Yep, the key failed, and you don't have any other ways to authenticate, so you're not getting in."
Yeah. The other thing I like to do, like to supplement my SSH protection, is just have a single unit, which is quite often an Odroid XU4 or some other SBC, but just a single unit that's allowed to receive SSH connections, and then that unit has LAN access to other resources on my LAN. Right. So. Because sometimes people will open, you know, I'll have 10 ports open in my firewall so that I can SSH to this computer and SSH to that computer and that computer. Sure. And then you get lax on your security on one of those computers and boom, it's an entry point for ransomware. So instead I have just one computer that I SSH to, and quite often I'll use a reverse SOX proxy to SSH to that. And then now I can access my network resources.
Now, when you say the Odroid has access... It sounds like Peter's gotten on the phone. when you say the Odroid has access to the network resources, does that all? Are you implying also the network drives?
Sure, Samba shares. Yeah.
Well, then, how is that any different to SSH from, you know, into any other machine that has that same access?
Surely
the Odroid also is a. Is an entry point for
it could
ransomware.
Be. Oh, absolutely. But because I only have that one device, I can harden that device very securely, and I can stay on top of keeping that device hardened versus having to harden every device on my network, which are supposed to be LAN, right? So I have one device that is WAN accessible, and that device has CSF LFD with the capability of, you know, blocking IP addresses based on failed login attempts, based on region specific stuff.
So is that the Odroid that's doing that, or is that the Microtik that's doing that?
The Microtik would route the traffic to the Odroid. The Odroid would have CSF as a final line of defense.
Okay.
And
well, we have a few minutes. My router setup is a little different. Instead of having a small box that you guys will probably have, I have a full-blown desktop with the two network cards in it. It's in my basement. And it's running a Linux with an IP tables script that I use. And the modem is in a bridge. Because I want and the main reason it's in the bridge is because I want my server to have the public IP, and I do all the hardening on that.
Yeah, that's cool. So consider this, just going back to the question, like, you know, how did I settle on Microtik? I used to use Monowall and pfSense in a very similar scenario as you, with a PC with multi NIC, and then when you realize that something like a Microtik can use a tenth of the power.
Yeah, but I also have my mail server and a web server on that thing. So
it's multitasking. Yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
I would always separate those into different devices.
Yeah, but now that I have my new server, during the summer when I get a few more drives in it, I might use that as the main server for things.
Yeah, that's cool.
But my router server is not using a Monowall or a Minimalist. It's a full-blown Linux.
Yeah, like Linux without IP tables. Yeah, I got you.
No, it's a full-blown. The only thing for my normal desktop is that it doesn't have a graphical... but it's
do you have Bind9 running your DNS and everything on that as well?
Yes.
And the DHCP on there as well.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, that's another way to do it. I am like, I don't know if it's because, you know, I turned 40 and suddenly I'm like, I just want a little box that I can just plug in. I've gotten lazy. I'm like, I'm buying Lenovo laptops and HP desktops.
Yeah. And I do get that. One of the things I do get concerned about is once you can SSH into the main machine, now you've got access to everything. And that does bother me.
No. Once you've SSH'd into the main machine, presumably the XU4 in my case, now you have to authenticate to get access to the network resources within that machine.
Right.
You can't do it as the user who accesses it, which is a low-level user.
Yeah.
No, you can't access anything with that access. Mm-hmm. Now you have to elevate your user access to a user account on the system that has access to those resources.
Okay.
But that user account is not allowed to connect to SSH. Okay. You have to connect first, then elevate.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you sure you didn't use the work at NSA at one point?
I like it. I like it. But as with all homegrown security type, solutions, the more secure it is, the more you have to do to get normal access to your
I'm fine with that.
Security is a necessary evil.
I'm well aware of it. I have no problem with that. I'm well aware of it. So yeah.
Hey Robbie, do you know off at the top of your head the model of that MicroTik you're working with?
No. However, I did mention it on the show this week. And if you go to cat5.tv/microtik, it's the only one listed because it's the only one I've talked about so far.
Okay.
So,
and it gives good Wi-Fi performance, even though it doesn't apparently have any antennas.
Yeah.
Hanging off of
it's fantastic. Yeah. I use one in our basement in the cellar and it does the Wi-Fi all the way up to the top floor of the house.
Nice.
So, I don't have any
Wi-Fi. It works really well. No?
I couldn't
live without it, really, these days. I didn't used to love it, but now I'm just like, it's just too convenient. So.
Yeah, yeah. When you've got phones and tablets and all that.
Oh, yeah. I'm using Wi-Fi. Voice over IP now and, all this stuff.
My, so. My main reason for not, we are about to end, but my main reason for not using for Wi-Fi was that the place I lived, it was 70 other condos in all around me.
Mm.
But now
so it was
here
pretty congested.
It was over security reasons. I didn't want anyone just sitting in a car outside and hacking into my...
Yeah.
That's when you shut off SSID and you... You don't let anyone connect unless you know the MAC address of the device it's connecting over Wi-Fi.
Watch out for our series. Like I'm going to be showing you some really cool stuff on the MicroTik
for
the Wi-Fi.
SSID is not the biggest, the greatest security choice.
Yeah, I'm gonna just put this out there as a final thought. One thing that I hold true to and that like is really good food for thought is that saying, it's a cliche, but it's so true. Security through obscurity is not security.
Oh, I agree.
Yes.
And just remember that as you're taking an approach to your router, to your setup, obscurity is not any amount of security. So just remember that.
Moving my SSH port was not a move to obscurity.
Right.
It was just a question of avoiding the hackers who...
It will cut it down 10 times.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there are script kiddies out there that just have a script that just scans IP addresses for port 22. Yep. So you just cut all those script kiddies off.
Right.
It's the good ones who know what they're doing that you got to watch out for.
I know. And if you really want to find out if your
router is secure, the GRC's Shields up page is
I use that.
Yeah.
I also use that as well. Very good. Very good.
Guys, I got to run. Bill, the deer behind you is getting really full. He's been eating for a full half hour. Well, this has been fun, guys. I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
I appreciate the chance to raise that question again. We'll talk more.
And this is good, too, because these are things that I'm going to be talking about on the show, and it gives me some good viewer feedback as to, stuff that I should be talking about. So thank you for that.
Yeah,
but I'll be at the studio this afternoon and into tomorrow. Tomorrow morning I'll be there, and so tomorrow's coffee break I'll be there.
I'm going to head out for some pizza.
Talk to you then. Yeah. All right, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.